Tonight's edition of Encouragement Live is pre-recorded. No phone calls, please. Coming up on Encouragement Live, we live in unsettled times. So let's talk with Roxanne Endermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com about trusting God with an unpredictable future on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. Tonight's program, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is pre-recorded, so we'll not be taking phone calls. And Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards is back with me. She is a regular on our program. Roxanne, always a joy to have you with us on the broadcast.
Well, thanks, Don. It's always great to be here.
You know, we're living in a very uncertain time, and I guess the upcoming election is a big part of that. People are unsettled about that, and whatever side of the political fence you're on, you hear grave predictions about how bad things will be if the other side gets elected. And then there's uncertainty in the Middle East about what's happening there with Israel and all her foes, not to mention Eastern Europe and the economy. And, you know, sometimes we hear the economy is getting better and inflation is much better, but things are still uncertain. Am I off base on that, or is that accurate?
Oh, I think you hit that right on the head.
Now, we want to talk about how to lean into God and how to lean into our faith to be able to find rest and peace when life's messages all seem to be filled with fear and dread. And we've had a volatile election cycle over these last few months. A lot of people are on edge. So how do you think the coming election is impacting people's sense of peace?
Oh, I think we see a lot of it. And I think there's been a lot of fear-mongering throughout the whole election on both sides of the aisle. I mean, we hear both sides claiming that they're the only sustainable voice of democracy and that, you know, there's predicting the fall of democracy if the other side wins. And along with that, both sides claim to have the only answer for the economy and immigration. And so it'll be horrible if they don't win. And again, both sides claim that there'll be nothing but chaos or disaster if the other side wins.
So as a result, yeah. I'm just going to say what you're probably going to say. The result of that is probably widespread panic or widespread fear.
Yeah, and just people living in fear that if their chosen candidate doesn't win this election, then life as they know it's going to be gone forever.
Yeah, I heard a commentator on one of the conservative networks the other day saying, how many election cycles have people said that very thing on? And so far, the democracy endures. But Roxanne, how do you think the world approaches all these unknowns? And how do you think the secular people deal with all this uncertainty? What's their strategy?
Well, I don't think we have to look too far to see that. I mean, the polarizing temperature in our world shows us. I mean, on the extreme, we see people taking up arms against those who don't agree with them or calling for their states to secede from the United States so that they can have more control over their politics. I mean, we're even seeing assassination attempts. I mean, anyone who disagrees or votes differently than us is seen as an enemy. In the secular world, the more people fear being required to do things and take steps that they don't want to do, the stronger their grab for power and control becomes. I mean, in the 20th century, that looked a whole lot more like protesting. But today, people are ready to destroy anyone and anything that doesn't support their views.
We're not taking phone calls on this pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live, but we would encourage you to go to the website HisFaithfulStewards.com. There, Roxanne and her team have put together a free video series with short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of topics around finances and retirement. They send one out each week for free. You can sign up for them on the website at HisFaithfulStewards.com. Again, that's HisFaithfulStewards.com. We'll be right back after this time out.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, teach truth, love well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
Crossflix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
Crossflix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
Tonight's edition of Encouragement Live is pre-recorded. We're not taking phone calls. I'm Don Hawkins, Roxanne Intermule of His Faithful Stewards, joining me to talk about trusting God with an unpredictable future. Roxanne, we've talked about just how unpredictable things seem to be in this world. And for those who don't know Christ, this life is their only hope. So it might make sense that someone without hope might behave in some of these ways and sort of insisting that if things don't go my way, it's catastrophic. Talk about, though, how this is different for Christians.
So for a Christian, from a biblical standpoint, it should be very different. I mean, our future in eternity is secured with God. We serve an almighty God who holds us in the palm of his hand. He doesn't promise to fill our desires for control, but he does promise his presence. He promises never to leave us. And while Christians have a responsibility to vote and to make their voices heard, we also have a responsibility to respect our fellow human beings. I mean, we're all made in God's image, regardless of our differing opinions. So when we choose how we will work with, you know, politics around us, we can choose to react like the world reacts, or we can choose to reflect the love of Jesus and remember that none of God's creations are our enemies. I mean, we're called to love God, not to try and force them, you know, other people to our line of thinking.
Yeah, and we have so much in Scripture that reminds us not to panic, not to fear, be afraid. David in Psalm 27:1 said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The great reminder not to be afraid. And somebody said, Roxanne, that there are 365 statements in the Bible, one for every day, that tell us to fear not. So what are some things that you do to help bring more of God's peace into your life during fearful times?
Well, for me, a lot has to do with the things that I think about and how I spend my time, you know, and even ways that I talk to myself. I mean, for example, when I start to feel my anxiety rising over different things that are happening, I find a quiet place and I review passages of Scripture that remind me of God's sovereignty, the ways that he's cared for his people. I remind myself that God is the one who's ultimately in control and that any of my own feelings of control are really just an illusion. I remind myself of how passionately God loves me and the great sacrifice that he made on the cross for me. And then I remind myself that whatever happens, I can trust God even when things look scary.
I wonder if you have a favorite passage of Scripture. I personally like Psalm 56:3, which says, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord." Talk about your favorite Scripture.
Well, there's actually a few, and one that I return to a lot is actually the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived in Judah during a time when Babylon was growing in power. And when Babylon conquered other nations, they were brutal to those people. The war atrocities that we hear about today are not new. I mean, similar things and worse were happening, you know, back in the time of the Babylonians, and they overtook other nations, and Habakkuk saw that coming. And when they were coming for Israel, it scared him, and it broke his heart to see all of the evil things that were happening to Judah as the Babylonians invaded.
Thankful that God's word indicates to us that our God is still in control. Again, if you'd like to find out about the video series, 3 to 5 minute educational videos, go to HisFaithfulStewards.com. We'll be back. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in a people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. You're listening to Encouragement Live, and tonight's edition is pre-recorded. That is, we're not taking any telephone calls. We have a very important and timely topic, trusting God with an unpredictable future. The music in the background produced by Brad Smithart, and you can Google Brad Smithart if you'd like to download some of his music productions. And you can learn more about His Faithful Stewards at their web address, hisfaithfulstewards.com. They offer a free video series with 3 to 5 minute educational videos. They send out one each week, and you can sign up for those. They're available free at the website hisfaithfulstewards.com. Roxanne, you were talking about the book of Habakkuk, and recently I've been preparing some messages for some overseas ministry on the book of Ezekiel. And those two prophets, Ezekiel and Habakkuk, both lived in some really frightening and fearful times, really, really grim times. And Israel would ultimately fall to Babylon, and of course, Ezekiel was taken there. But how did Habakkuk deal with his fears? He knew the Babylonians were coming for Israel. How did he deal with it?
Well, first we see him cry out to God in complaint of all the evil that was happening. So basically, he gets it off his chest first. And then God answers Habakkuk's complaints. He assures Habakkuk that he is in control. And he contrasts the Babylonians with those who are righteous in Habakkuk 2:4 when he says that the righteous will live by their faith. So the bottom line was trusting God, trusting the character of the God we serve, and knowing that he fully loves us. I mean, so matter how bleak things get, our anchor is in trusting God, not in politics. I mean, we won't always understand what he allows or why he allows it, but we can always rest in knowing that he is good and always worthy of our trust. We trust him, not our limited understanding of who he is, not what we think he's going to do, but him.
Yeah, just that trust in his person. And I love what somebody said. It really doesn't matter who's in the White House as long as we recognize that God's on the throne and ruling over the universe. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't get out and vote based on our convictions, that we shouldn't pray for our country and for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2 reminds us to do that, and we certainly should. But God's actions are really tough for Habakkuk to swallow. Those Babylonians are far more wicked than the Israelites, and God allowed them to conquer Israel. Do you think we have some people who might feel the same way about this coming election?
Yeah, I do. I mean, a lot of people believe that their political fiction, their position is far more righteous than the other side, regardless of who the other side is. And some may feel a little bit betrayed by God if their side doesn't win. And though Habakkuk was facing brutal violence from the Babylonians, I think that one of the hardest parts for Habakkuk was that God was allowing Babylon to prevail, even though Babylon was far more evil than Israel.
Now, you mentioned the verse from Habakkuk 2:4 that I think is also repeated about three times in the New Testament that says, "The righteous shall live by their faith." How might it look, do you think, to live by our faith after the election if it doesn't go the way we think it should?
Well, I think it starts with how we think about it and how we respond. Either we put our hope in the Lord, we pray for our leaders and for the best outcome, or we sink into hopelessness, negativity, or we get mad and allow the voices of this world to get us all riled up. Mm. I mean, as believers, the first question that we have to ask ourselves is, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
I mean, politics were against the Jews during Jesus' day. Many Jews were suffering at the hands of the Romans, but Jesus didn't dive into fixing things politically. He always stayed focused on people's hearts and operated from a place of love. If we're going to live by our faith, our reaction to things that happen need to reflect Jesus.
And the Apostle Paul in Romans and also in Galatians and, of course, in the book of Hebrews, that same phrase, the just shall live by their faith, by their trust in the Lord. Again, paraphrasing those verses, but they're all there. So that's the bottom line for how we're supposed to live, correct?
Absolutely.
Now, friend, you can meet with his faithful stewards without cost. If you'd like to maybe talk about finances, talk about your retirement, you can simply go to hisfaithfulstewards.com and click on the link to schedule a meeting. Or you can send an email message and get the phone number to call. You can schedule a meeting on the app at hisfaithfulstewards.com. That website, I should say, not the app, but the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. And again, you can also sign up for those free 2 to 3 minute or 3 to 4 minute video, 3 to 5 minutes. Those do vary. I know, Roxanne, you told me that. Those are educational videos on a variety of topics, so check those out at hisfaithfulstewards.com. Now, earlier you said something, Roxanne, about having to take charge of what you listen to and what you think about. I think that would be very helpful if you would maybe explore that a little more on how you do that and how we might follow that example.
Sure. To be honest and to be candid, I'm actually someone who struggles with fear. So when I see all the biblical passages that say, fear not, that you were talking about before, you know, those 365 of them,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure God was thinking about me when he put those in the Bible. And so
me too.
In order to keep from living in debilitating fear, I have to watch the amount of time that I allow myself to be influenced by things that I read and hear that are not encouraging to my faith.
And there's certainly a lot of those these days. So what kinds of things do you have to limit watching or reading or listening to specifically?
Well, while I think it's important to know what's happening in the world, I don't need to spend hours a day listening to the news that stirs me up. I used to even get a little bit addicted to the fear I would feel when listening to story after story about something bad that had happened, like 9/11 or when COVID broke out or whatever. But then I finally realized that that wasn't honoring to God and that I needed to put some pretty tight limits on myself for how much negative news I would allow myself to be exposed to.
I think that's a very good point. And, you know, it seems like lately, and particularly when we're pre-recording this program, we've just encountered two major hurricanes in our country to go along with all the political unrest and controversy and all of the conflicts in the Middle East and Eastern Europe and elsewhere and the threat of terrorism and all these other things. But I can't help thinking about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul had such great advice there. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And Roxanne, I think it's telling us to take control of our thoughts and dwell and focus on good things and not on all the bad things happening in our world. And sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. And it sounds easy enough, but it isn't easy when I'm afraid. I mean, it's easy for me to let myself spend way too much time listening to things that just kind of fuel that fear. But I have to get a hold of it, and I can't allow myself to do that.
Now, that Philippians passage is certainly a classic. Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and might encourage our listening family to memorize those verses. Do you have another passage of Scripture that brings you peace when you feel those feelings of fear?
Yeah, I do, and it's probably not a passage that a lot of people would pull out, but it's one that really helps me. And it's actually in 2 Kings 6. Mm. And the king has surrounded the city of Dotham for the purpose of catching Elisha. And Elisha's servant was terrified. He was really, really afraid. But then Elijah prays that the servant's eyes would be opened. And then the servant sees the hills are full of horses and chariots of fire that God has sent to protect Elisha. Mm. So this story reminds me that there's always spiritual forces at work that we don't see. God's very able to protect me. I may not get the president or the country that I want, but God will always stand with his people. He is there, and he is much bigger than politics or any political leader.
What a timely and important reminder, friend. And if you've been struggling during this very intense period of time in our world, I would encourage you to go to that passage in 2 Kings chapter 6. Meditate on what God did for Elisha and the fact that, as he told the prophet, greater are those who are with us than those who are with them. And I think, Roxanne, about the passage in the New Testament that says, greater is he that is in you, this in 1 John chapter 4, than he who is in the world. We have greater power on our side through the Lord than anybody else. Now, Roxanne, let's get down to a specific area that you work with Christians on, and that is their finances. How do you see all this uncertainty impacting the people you work with and how they feel about their money and their future and their retirement and all those things?
Well, I see people who are afraid and don't know what to do about their money and their savings. They fear continuing what they're currently doing, and they fear making any changes. So they're paralyzed by their fear and afraid to make any moves. But I also see others who look at the options and seek to make wise decisions in light of current events and make changes there. But then there are always others who just want to believe that everything will get back to the way it was a few years ago, and they don't want to change anything. They resist all that change, and they just keep on doing same old, same old.
Yeah, I would assume that a lot of people find that to be very easy. They're resistant to the any kind of change. Although I remember one of my profs from when I was in college used to explain to us that the phrase "the status quo" is Latin for "the mess we're in," and could say that. So, what's your approach that you recommend to your clients during these uncertain times?
Well, from my perspective, good stewardship is about seeking wisdom and not taking unnecessary risk. For example, someone may have money in the market, and their account has taken some sharp drops in recent years. When times are good, we don't think about the stock market investments as being a gamble. We feel like we're getting a good deal as long as those numbers are going up. But when the market takes a hit and our money drops 5%, 10%, or even 20%, then we feel the sting of the gamble. Then people start to take a harder look at how they're stewarding these resources that God has given them and seeing if there are better options. Because I don't feel like gambling is a good stewardship practice. I recommend other types of investments that are guaranteed to never lose people's money while still averaging double-digit growth returns.
I would think that approach helps people with those feelings of uncertainty. Would you agree?
I would. It does help a lot of people to be more at peace when they know that they won't ever lose their investment dollars again. I mean, they have a contractual guarantee that they'll never lose their account value when there's downturns in the market. So once they realize that they can be protected from market downturns and, still work with investments that have averaged in the double digits over the last 10 years, a lot of people are eager to end that gambling with their investment dollars, and then they have a lot more peace because they know that their savings aren't going to be affected if a sudden recession hits.
And we've heard economists say that that possibility still exists of a recession. And some of you may want to find out a little more about that. His Faithful Stewards is offering that free video series with short 3 to 5 minute resources available there. Those videos on various topics around finances and retirement. They're sending one out each week for free. You can also schedule an appointment to talk with Roxanne. Go to the website, His Faithful Stewards.com.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And in case you just joined us, we are not taking phone calls. This is a pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live. Roxanne Endermule of His Faithful Stewards is with me tonight. We've been talking about the uncertainty in our world today, some of it related to politics, some of it related to finances and resources, some of it related to threats of different things in different parts of the world and in our own part of the world as well. But we've talked about the fact that God has told us not to fear. We have scriptures that remind us to take our anxieties and cares to the Lord. And Roxanne, as we went to the break, you mentioned wisdom, and I think of James 1:5 that tells us if we lack wisdom, we can ask freely of God, and He'll give it freely to us. You also are suggested something that sounds like stewardship, I think of the faithful stewards in Matthew 25:14 who were diligent and actually took their master's money and doubled it.
Yeah, they did. And that parable is one of the scripture passages that actually directs my beliefs on money and how we steward it wisely. I mean, the foolish servant was afraid to do anything with the money because he feared his master's reaction if he risked it and lost. But the faithful stewards wisely grew their master's money. So it looks to me like they put it to work without gambling it, and that's what we should emulate.
That's a very timely reminder. By the way, let me mention again the free video series available from His Faithful Stewards. They have short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of topics around the subjects of finances and retirement. They send out one each week for free. They'll email those to you, and you can sign up for them on their website at hisfaithfulstewards.com. And Roxanne, if somebody wanted to talk with you about getting their money into the kind of safe place that you've been talking about, where growth has been strong and the downside risk is not there, how would they go about doing that?
Well, on our website at hisfaithfulstewards.com, there are links to schedule a free chat with us, or you can send us a message. I mean, there's also a phone number on the website for hisfaithfulstewards.com, and people can call us. I mean, there's never a charge to speak with us.
So how do you decide what investments you'll be working with people?
Well, I have three criteria that a company has to pass before I'll work with them. The first one's related to how the company makes their money. As far as I can find, and as deep as I can dig with them, they have to be biblically responsible in how they grow and use their money.
Seems to me that there are certain areas that would not be biblically responsible. So what kind of things do you look for and look at in that regard?
Well, it means they're not invested with some of the biggest investment companies that are a huge flag for me, because they're ones that make their money in ways that are not biblical and not honoring to the Lord.
So what are some of the ways that investment companies might go against what the Bible teaches about money?
Well, for example, one of the biggest and strongest investment companies out there routinely makes investments in third world countries in ways that undermine the third world country's economy and keep the people poor, while funneling most of that money back to the United States. And I don't think that it is honoring for the Lord to take the resources that he's entrusted to us and use them in ways that would hurt the poor. So this same company that I'm talking about also invests in things that have hidden ties to human trafficking and other immoral ventures. Their only concern is about making money. So I steer way away from any company that I see has any links or works with these bigger companies that are very unprincipled.
And it seems to me like there are a number of companies, and I won't go into specific names, like mutual funds and so forth, that don't make it easy for you to know exactly what they're investing in. So sometimes it's really hard. For example, we see a lot of advertising these days about gambling, and I would think gambling would not be a place where God would be honored with our investing his money. How do you dig into that and find those answers?
Well, it takes a long time. And the reason I say as far as I can tell and as deep as I can dig is because of the fact that, you know, the companies aren't forthcoming about where things are. And I can spend a number of hours researching a company and still not feel like I've gotten to the bottom of it. So, you know, I do the best that I can to dig as deep as I can and to look for those roots and those connections to things, you know, that shouldn't be there.
Boy, that's a very timely thing to know that you are spending that time and, again, helping us to be able to not invest money into something that would displease our Lord. Now, you mentioned three criteria that a company needs to meet for you to work with them at His Faithful Stewards. What are the other two?
Well, the second is just simple. It's based on their last 10 years of performance. Before I'll work with a company and bring them business, they must show averages of 8% or more over the past 10 years, and some of them are up to 14%. And then the third criteria has to do with the company's financial strength. The companies I work with not only have to have high ratings with the standard rating companies that most people look at, but they must also have strong ratios with a rating company that looks at their ratios.
All right, let me stop you there and ask you what you mean by ratios. That's, I'm sure, a term that people understand in the financial world, but some of the rest of us may not be familiar.
Yeah, sure. So companies want to maintain their A ratings with the standard rating companies. And a standard rating company, when they come in to rate a company, looks at their resources and their obligations as part of that rating and their customer service and different things. But the companies, investment companies have a little trick that they do to keep their ratings high. So when they start to get more obligations than their resources will cover, they create offshore entities, and they move some of these obligations into offshore entities so that their ratios still look good. So the standard rating companies no longer see their real ratios, and so they continue to assign them these strong ratings. But there's many large, well-known companies that have horrible ratios, and their obligations well exceed their resources.
So is there a way, then, that you can actually see the real strength of a company's ratios?
Yes. There is one small organization that's working towards honesty in this arena, and it looks at all of the obligations and resources of a company, including all of those other entities that they've set up. And then they evaluate the companies based on their true ratios, not just on what they have here at home and what's visible. So these ratio ratings give us a much better picture of how strong a company truly is. With these ratios, many companies with A ratings and huge claims of financial strength are really exposed as having horrible ratios that mean the company could begin to default at any time. So my third criteria is that a company's ratios must be in the strongest 20 to 25% of companies in the country before I'll even consider bringing them business. And the ones that I do most of my business with are actually in the top 10.
That's a good thing to know, friend. And if you'd like to talk with someone at His Faithful Stewards, you can do so without a cost or an obligation. You can go to the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com, and hit the link to schedule a meeting. Or you can send an email message and get the telephone number to call. You can schedule a meeting on the scheduler online at hisfaithfulstewards.com. That's also where you can find out about this free video series they send out each week. Short 3 to 5 minute educational videos on a variety of topics about finances and retirement, including some of the issues that we've talked about tonight. Roxanne Indermule of His Faithful Stewards is with me tonight. And Roxanne, just to recap your three criteria, try saying that three times backwards, three criteria for the companies that you work with are that they have to be biblically responsible, as much as you can tell. They need to have averages over the last 10 years of 8% or more, and they must be financially stable as determined by true ratios, not just the published ones. Do I have that down right?
Yep, you got it completely correct.
Good to know. Again, keep in mind the video series, short 3 to 5 minute educational videos around topics on finances and retirement, and you can schedule a time to talk with Roxanne about the kind of investment possibilities that don't have that downside risk, that have a strong potential for upside risk because of those three serious criterias. And again, you can go to the website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. Now, Roxanne, a lot of people are afraid of the uncertainty around taxes as well. You know, you just never know what political party may be in power and might decide to raise taxes. Our national deficit keeps growing at, it seems like, by leaps and bounds. And we can be pretty sure that at some point taxes will be increasing. Do you have some unique tax strategies that you can implement to help some people with their tax situation?
Yes, we do. I mean, we have specialty trusts that are very beneficial to self-employed people and to people who are paying a significant amount of taxes on capital gains or other kinds of investment and passive income. The trusts actually utilize a provision in the IRS code that establishes that capital gains are not taxable with this kind of trust. So we can get rid of taxes on capital gains and other passive income, and the trust, when employed correctly with for self-employed, can actually reduce self-employment taxes by over 90%. And since they're copyrighted, they're not commonly known and they're not widely distributed.
Very important to keep that in mind, and you can ask about that when you reach out to Roxanne. Now, His Faithful Stewards helps people grow their money well without risk. You're working with specialty trusts that can really help people with a large tax bill due to their investments or self-employment taxes. Do you have anything else that you're doing to help people in these areas?
Yeah, we do a couple other things. One thing is we show people how to leverage their money and make it work for them in more than one place at a time. And this plan is especially useful for younger folks because it keeps their investment money liquid, where they can access it in an emergency without penalty, and the growth can provide for a tax-free line of income for the future. So it's a trick that the wealthy have used for generations, but you don't have to be wealthy to implement it.
Boy, that would be a helpful thing, especially I can think of some of my children and grandchildren might benefit from that. Maybe I'm too old or maybe I'm not. What are some other things that you do to help people?
Well, for some people who don't have significant savings, life insurance can provide a really necessary life raft in the event of an unexpected death. So we do help people to put life insurance in place if it's needed. But also we carry a line of gold and silver coin that's reliable. We work with pre-1933 gold and silver coins that never get issued a 1099 for taxes.
And we'll come back and talk more about those possibilities. Check out HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Do you have an extra car taking up valuable space in your driveway? Let Encouragement Live take it off your hands. It's easy, free, and best of all, tax deductible. Get your driveway back and keep Encouragement Live rolling so more people can bridge the gap between their faith and everyday life. Mention Encouragement Live when you call 855-500-RIDE. That's 855-500-RIDE or encouragementlive.org.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
We're back for the final segment of this pre-recorded edition of Encouragement Live, not taking phone calls, but reminding you that you can reach out to HisFaithfulStewards.com to set up a meeting with Roxanne Intermule and in confidence and without cost or obligation, talk about some of these things that she's been discussing tonight in these uncertain times in which we're living. Roxanne, I hear a lot of advertising, especially on some of the news channels, about investing in gold, and people have all kinds of ways about that. Tell me a little bit more about why you're working with gold and silver and some of the parameters on that.
Sure. I think of gold and silver a lot like insurance. So because of the fact it has an inverse relationship with the stock market. So when there's a big drop in the stock market, gold and silver usually increases in value and vice versa. And gold and silver never lose all their value. But what's important to keep, it's important to know that there's good kinds of gold and silver to have and other kinds that are not so good. For example, a lot of people have probably perfectly good gold bars, but what they don't realize is that since there are so many counterfeits out there, there's very few places that will buy them back. So while they might have a very good investment themselves, they aren't able to turn it into to cash when they need it to do so. Then there's also people that their money is invested someplace in gold and silver, and they only have a piece of paper that tells them about that. They don't have any actual gold and silver. And I like to compare that to like going on the Titanic, being given a choice between having a life vest or having a paper that says you're entitled to having a life vest and saying, oh, okay, I'm good with the paper.
Oh, my. I think that's a very graphic illustration. In other words, somebody else holds the actual item of value or items of value. You have a piece of paper that says you can get it, but good luck with finding them and tracking them down. And since we don't believe in good luck, that's probably not going to work out very well. Now, we've been talking a lot about uncertainty, and we have a little time to do some recapping here. I want to explore some additional passages in the Bible that you found helpful in finding peace during these times of financial uncertainty.
Well, Matthew 6 always comes to mind as a reminder that worrying about money won't accomplish anything. But for me, it's really more helpful to review the faithfulness of God to his people throughout history. So sometimes I go to Hebrews 11 and just ponder the stories of each of those faith heroes that are in that chapter. And then I think about the outcome on history and how God used every one of those people in their very specific events to change the world. And it helps me to focus on that bigger picture and to know that God has it all under control, even when it doesn't feel like it.
Boy, that's such an important and helpful thing for us to know, because we really have so many things that are out of our control these days. Is there anything else that you do that helps you experience God's peace when you're feeling surrounded by uncertainty, which seems to be what we're all facing these days?
I stand back and I ask myself if I'm maintaining an eternal perspective on life. And what I mean by that is I need to remember that this life is just the beginning. I have an eternal future that has been promised to me. I've been promised to live forever in a place where there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. And those things will never, you know, these things that are happening now will never pass. So I mean, we'll pass the pain of today and the anxieties and all of that. So whether I suffer today or when I don't know what the future will hold and, you know, and it's feeling really uncertain to me, I find comfort when I focus on those eternal promises and know that this isn't the end. It's only the beginning. Our days on this earth, you know, may sometimes be a struggle, but in light of our eternal hope, they'll just pass away, and we'll have a much better things to come.
And Roxanne, that brings me to something that I feel like is of vital importance as we talk about uncertain times, and that is to raise the question with our listening family. Friend, have you come to the place where you are absolutely certain that you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We've talked about the fact that there is uncertainty surrounding us, and you do not want any uncertainty about where you will spend eternity. Scripture makes it clear that there's only one way to be sure of that, and that is by placing our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. Scripture makes it clear that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's why the world is in such a catastrophic and uncertain situation, because of the sin nature that we all have. And the penalty for sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. But that same verse reminds us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, in Romans 5:8, Paul says, proved his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that means, friend, that the most familiar verse in the Bible tells you exactly how you can experience God's certainty in this uncertain world, and that is by placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, and friend, your name is there, you can write your name, whosoever believes or trusts in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can express that trust like this: Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. I admit that I'm a sinner and cannot save myself, and I'm placing my trust in you right now as my personal Lord and Savior. And friend, if you've made that decision, if you've prayed that prayer, Roxanne and I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to her at hisfaithfulstewards.com or reach out to me at encouragementlive.org. Let us know that you've made that most important decision to have the most absolute security. And Roxanne, remind us once again about, if people have questions about these investments that have a significant upside without the downside, some of the ways to avoid taxes, that type thing, how can they reach out to you and perhaps talk with you about that?
Yeah, there's three different ways that they can do that. One is they can go onto the website and they can set an appointment. They can hit a link there that allow them to set an appointment with us. They can get the phone number from the website. They can call us, or there's actually, you can contact us, and which will send us an email, And you can also reach us that way. So whatever way is most comfortable, people can reach out to us.
And talk about those videos. Give us a little bit, you know, I mentioned those several times during the program, but you were probably involved in producing those, and maybe you could give us a sneak preview verbally so that people know what to expect when they look at them.
Well, actually, I wasn't involved in the production of those. I found a company that had produced some excellent ones with excellent material. And so I've chosen to utilize those for now. Eventually, we'll make our own, probably.
Yeah. Sorry about putting you on the spot there. But on the other hand, you have vetted them. The message is clear cut and gives you that perspective. Now, we do have just enough time to recap on a few things. One of those is, again, the market, in a sense, is almost like gambling with your money, because there is a downside. There can be a crash. There can be a recession or something of that nature. But you've talked about investments that don't have that downside risk but have a significant upside. How is that possible?
Well, it's possible because the money isn't in the market. See, when people invest in the market and they have shares of things that are in the market, the cost of those shares go up and down, and the money goes up and down. But this one, it goes to an investment, a company that's making that investment. They hold the money. They do whatever their investments are going to do, and they give the returns. And so based on different indexes within the market. And so, but the money's not actually in the market, and that's how they can guarantee that floor, that it's never going to be lost.
Boy, and it seems to me like that is something that would be very worth people checking into. And again, whether you're near retirement age or maybe you're just getting started investing, to avoid what could happen down the road. Maybe it won't happen this year, or maybe it might, but it could happen next year, 5 years, 10 years down the road. So you've talked about that. Now, again, some people are in a very high tax bracket, and you also have some strategies that can help people in terms of taxes, and especially things like self-employment tax. Recap for us on that.
Yes, we do have a trust, and it's especially useful for people who are self-employed or people who have a great deal of investment income, because the trust employs an IRS code that actually determines that passive income, which is capital gains, other kinds of investment income, are not taxable inside the base of that trust. And so we can use that trust. We use it in conjunction with another tool for self-employed people to turn their money passive and remove many of the taxes on that. And basically can reduce those taxes by over 90% for self-employed and completely wipe out the taxes on capital gains.
And again, if you want to find out more about that, you can set up a time to talk specifically with Roxanne or a member of her team by visiting their website, hisfaithfulstewards.com. If you haven't jotted that down, I would encourage you to do so. That is, unless you're driving. If you're driving, we'd encourage you to pull over and jot down hisfaithfulstewards. That all runs together, .com. Roxanne, it is always a joy to have you with us on the program, and very grateful that God has given us this opportunity to reach out to people. Tell us a little bit, remind us of how you personally view what you're doing as a ministry, a service to God and to God's people.
Well, I look at it as a ministry because, you know, we're called to have the renewing of our mind, to not be transformed to the patterns of this world. And we haven't stopped to think that perhaps our financial orientation and how we work with the resources and steward them that God's given us, that we're doing this according to the patterns of this world. And it is my hope to be able to work with people and help them to see a different pattern for this that I feel like is very honoring to God and works to build his kingdom. And then also, you know, provides people with greater resources that they can use to help build God's kingdom.
And Roxanne, I've heard from a number of people, including our listening family, people who've talked with you and worked with you and said that you're a very easy person to talk with, very easy person to work with, but that you have very strong convictions about the kinds of investments that you're program is in. And again, you've told us about three specific criteria that you have for any investments that you put in place. We've got about 30 seconds. Remind us of those.
Well, the first, as far as I can tell, they are biblically responsible in how they grow their money, how they use it. Second, the returns have to be over 8%. We've averaged up to 14% averages over the last 10 years. And the third thing, okay, this is a memory test now.
Okay. Well, we'll have people go back and listen to the program. You can find the archive at encouragementlive.org. For Roxanne, I'm Don. Good night from Encouragement Live.